The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to the weekend. Oh, it's kind of hectic here today. So,
you think?
For Christmas week, instead of doing a Christmas party, they said, we're just going to do 5 days of celebration here at work.
Which I have loved.
Yeah, it's been very nice. Monday, they brought in breakfast for everybody. Tuesday, they,
We've had Santa, we've had the Mariner Moose, we've had the Seahawks mascot.
Yeah,
we've had,
Litz.
Yeah, we've had food and treats. And
so today, it's Bring Your Dog to Work Day. So the big debate in the Monson household, because Buddy is he's a spirited little guy.
He's boisterous.
Yeah. And so my youngest daughter said, Dad, you have to bring Buddy to work. My oldest daughter, before she went to work today, she came over and took Buddy for a run. And she goes, Dad, you cannot take Buddy to work. It'll be a disaster. It has not been a disaster.
He is a sweetie.
But then, he's very on edge. He's on edge.
Yeah, this is a new environment, and there are other dogs in the building.
There are all kinds of dogs.
If I had Scooter in here, it would be mayhem.
One of our staffers has a beautiful American pit bull. And so she just came by my desk, and Buddy and him started wrestling like they were old college chums. and
in a good way, like they're having fun?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that was good. But then I come in the studio while you're doing the news, and Buddy's going to hang out. So if he randomly barks during the show, I just want people to know what's going on. But then I realize we got mouse traps with peanut butter all around the studio here. And so I've just picked two up off the floor in...
Well, right during the newscast, I heard Buddy yelp.
I know. So I'm wondering if he got snapped by a mouse trap that's under our big center console here.
Well, right now I'm trying to get him to... see, he's sniffing around. Yeah, he's looking for
him. In fact, Nicole, would you touch base with Paul, the engineer, and see if there are only three mouse traps? Or if there are only two, because I can't let
Buddy.
We can
live with the mice today. We don't want Buddy's.
Well, I can look around.
Two off the floor, but I don't know if there's one underneath the center console here.
But I'll look and I'll make sure.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. So anyway, I got dog roaming around the studio. Got all kinds of mayhem here. But we also have a lot of news to talk about. We're going to keep an eye the last hour of the stock market, which is down 581 points 50 minutes before the close, and that's particularly bad news for the president, because the one thing that he has been citing over and over and over is the economy, when there have been so many other things, and now we have some more resignations in the White House, and if the economy starts to tank significantly, then the president's going, who knows how he'll react to that, but we'll keep a close eye, because right now market down 565 points as we are in the final hour of trading for the week. So we'll keep an eye on that. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead, Dory Monson show exclusive.
Oh, that is what we heard. Buddy did snap a mouse trap.
Oh man,
the poor guy.
Okay, I'm gonna go. Can I give him a treat? I'm gonna go outside.
Oh, you can go.
Yeah, I'm going to go get him a treat.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Okay. No, he's fine. I heard the snap, and that's what I was afraid of. What?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad it didn't get its tongue.
Yeah.
That would have been awful.
Because your older daughter would have said, I told you so, Dad.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Is that the only?
We've got three
now. We've got three off the floor, one that Buddy's triggered. Jeez. I feel horrible about that. Okay. Pigley. So we are doing Monson Madness, where we're asking you to pick the best soundbite of 2018. And it starts today. We have a round of 32. We have 32 finalists that we have selected, and it's going to be up to you to whittle that down to a number one by next Friday. And so we want you to vote on all 16 first-round matchups over the weekend. And if you go to either MyNorthwest.com, the Dory Monson Show page, or you can go to Facebook.com/DoryMonson, DoriMonson, cast your vote. Everybody who votes, let me make sure I have this right, Nicole. Everybody who casts a vote in Monson Madness will be entered to win a fabulous gift card from the Seahawks Pro Shop.
Is that correct?
Okay. All right. So if you help us pick the number one soundbite of the year, we've got four regions. We'll unveil the number one seeds a little bit. We'll kind of scatter this throughout the show today. But let me give you one of the matchups. A 4 seed versus a 5 seed. One of the 16 matchups we're asking you to vote on. At a 4 seed, Nancy Pelosi leading a cheer for a very bizarre reason.
It's about stopping the GOP and Mitch McConnell's assault on Medicare, Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act, and the health care of 130 million Americans living with pre-existing medical conditions. Let's hear it more for pre-existing medical conditions.
Let's hear it for pre-existing medical conditions. So that's a 4 seed. She's going up against the late Dennis Hoff, the pimp, who came on our show a lot. He just died a couple of months ago. He was writing a new book when I talked to him a few months earlier.
The new book should be, instead of The Art of the Pimp, which Judith Regan did, my next book should be Prostitutes to Politics, Where the Real Whores Are.
So Dennis Hoff announcing his new book title on our show. He's a 5 seed. Hoff versus Pelosi. That is one of the 16 first-round matchups. I'll give you some of the 1 seeds as well throughout the... in fact, I'll play you one of the top seeds in one of the 4 regions a little bit later here in the Big Lead in just a few minutes here. But go cast your vote. Everybody who votes will be eligible to win a Seahawk Team Shop gift card, and you will select the best soundbite of 2018. Up next in the Big Lead...
The Big Lead, top story.
We continue to track the crime that is plaguing our region as we have more and more drug and gang and homeless vagrant activity around here. People are stealing to feed drug habits and lots of other reasons. There's one guy that they are looking for who has robbed a couple of Baskin and Robbins stores and a Subway. It's a black male, 40 to 50 years old, possible shaved head. And when he went into the Baskin and Robin a few days ago, there was a young woman and a young man working there. The young woman is just cleaning one of those freezer cases that they have in the front of the store. She's just out cleaning it when this guy walks in. So she goes behind the counter to serve him up an ice cream cone. But instead, he pulled out a knife for the armed robbery he wanted to commit. But the young man who was working with Leslie, he came and he started to fight off the robber.
That was amazing. Like, his reaction was just so quick. I rewatched it after, and I'm like, oh my God, you fought him.
Yeah, you see the store surveillance video, Q13 News. Talk to Leslie. She described what went down.
And I'm like, okay, let me get behind the counter real quick so I can serve this customer. And then as soon as I get to the counter, he grabs me by the apron and then holds his knife to my stomach and he says, open the register, give me all the money in it. And I look down and I'm like, whoa, because it's just like a huge knife at my stomach. And I'm just like, oh my God, we're being robbed.
And the young man, her co-worker, just started fighting with the guy, which is incredibly dangerous when the guy's got a knife, but he got the robber to drop the knife.
My coworker grabs his knife and kind of like throws it at him. So he's just like, whoa. And then he turns around like he's going to leave. But then he comes back and tries to jump over the counter.
Yeah, he did. He dove across the counter. And Leslie is so grateful that her co-worker landed several punches, kicked the suspect who was trying to get to the register.
It was definitely scary. I was pretty shaken after. I told him he was a hero, and I bought him a cup and said, you're awesome. Stay like that.
The robber got $6 before bolting out the door with the clerk hot on his heels. They were not able to catch the guy, but the search is on, and you can see the video. You go to Q13 News, and they have the video posted on the website. I also want to give you an update. We talked yesterday about that horrible attack at the Westin Hotel in downtown Seattle, where a bunch of people got on an elevator 9 o'clock last Thursday evening, and one by one they got off as they went from floor to floor. And finally, a woman who was staying at the Westin on a business trip to Seattle, she and a 20-year-old man were the only two left on the elevator. He got off on her 14th floor, and she started to think, I shouldn't open my hotel room door. And she was right. Her instincts were absolutely right, because when she didn't go in her hotel room, the 20-year-old man started to sexually assault her in the hallway. He threw her to the ground. He got her zipper down on her pants. She started screaming at the top of her lungs. This is a 27-year-old woman on a business trip to Seattle, staying at a nice downtown hotel. A guy staying in another guest room heard her screams, came out, yelled at the guy. Turns out the man, Patrick Brooks, he's 20 years old. He lived in Virginia. He moved here. This is the new information we have today. He came to the Puget Sound area about a month ago. He has no connections here, no job. He is just another vagrant who has been attracted by our pathetic approach to drugs, our legalization of all drugs here, and how we tolerate these criminal vagrants. His parents had reported him missing 6 weeks ago. It turns out that Port of Seattle police saw him in a garage at SeaTac 2 days before the Westin attack. So a week ago Tuesday, they saw him urinating on a car in the SeaTac parking garage. And that's when they found that he was on this missing persons report. They called his parents. His parents said that their son didn't want to come home. He wanted to just be a homeless vagrant here in Seattle. And that's when he attempted to rape this young woman. He told the police that a Facebook bot, told him to attack the woman and that he did it for her so she would feel alive. This is the type of person our politicians have attracted to our region with our approach to drugs here. And it is shameful, it's scary, and that's the update on the Westin attacker. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
You know, all the money we've spent, tens of millions of dollars, to put bike lanes everywhere. They're about to rip up Eastlake, where our radio station is, and reduce it to two lanes and put bike lanes on Eastlake. They have gridlocked much of downtown, and it is all an exercise in futility because you're never going to get a significant number of people riding bikes here. And this is coming from somebody who was a daily bicycle rider up until a few years ago. But I know that you're never going to get a significant number of people because of the hills and the weather. When I was riding my bike all the time, the hills were no problem at all. You can sail up hills like nothing if you're in bicycle shape. But the weather's also a huge factor. Well, the Seattle Department of Transportation, they've been telling us, hey, if we spend $100 million, we'll get everybody riding bikes. We'll be like Copenhagen, which is just foolishness because Copenhagen's as flat as can be. SDOT has now released its annual report of bicycling. Bicycle ridership is down 20% in Seattle. Down 20%. We have spent over $100 million. We have gridlocked downtown. We are tearing up neighborhoods. We may destroy businesses on 35th Northeast. in this maniacal pursuit of some bicycle fantasy that will never happen. And you have people like Rob Johnson on the Seattle City Council who lies to try to get his way because the bicycle industry got him placed on the city council. And with all of that, bicycle ridership is down. It is an unbelievable waste of money. It is also more evidence of what fools we have running this region, that they blow $100 million only to make things get worse. You will never get a lot of bike riders in a city as wet and hilly as Seattle. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top trending.
How about this Kevin Hart? He fulfills the dream of a lifetime when he was asked a couple of days ago to host the Oscars. And now he's out. And that's because they found some old routines from a decade ago and some tweets that Kevin Hart put out there about gay people. In his stand-up routine, one of his bits was that he didn't ever want his son to be gay.
One of my biggest fears is my son growing up and being gay. That's a fear. Keep in mind, I'm not homophobic. I have nothing against gay people. Be happy. Do what you want to do. But me being a heterosexual male, if I can prevent my son from being gay, I will. Now, with that being said, I don't know if I handle my son's first gay moment correctly. Like, every kid has a gay moment, okay? Every kid. But when it happens, you got to nip it in the bud. You got to stop it right then. Hey, stop! That's gay! It's quick. No! I don't know if I handle my son's situation right, okay? He's at a birthday party, right? My son had a birthday party. He's playing. You know when kids play, they just play. You don't know what they're doing, but they're having a good time. They're just doing a bunch of stuff, right?
Okay, it goes on from there. So he apologized years ago for his gay jokes and his homophobic tweets. And the Hollywood knew about that when they asked him to do the Oscars. But they said, hey, apologize again. And he said, I'm not going to apologize again. I already apologized. And so he's out. And in the Fastest 15, I'll play for you the Instagram video where he said that he's out. But it's crazy. Just crazy. Political correctness run amok once again. The left eating its own. And that is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you. And then Pete Carroll. Huge game Monday Night Football coming up for the Seahawks. And our weekly conversation with the Seahawks coach is next on the Dory Monson Show.
This is the Pete Carroll Show.
All right, here we go.
On Cairo Radio 97.3 FM, where the 12s hear the Hawks. The Pete Carroll Show is presented by Les Schwab and Bellevue Rare Coins. Now with Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll, here's Dory Monson.
Well, even though the Seahawks play on Monday night, we are continuing our season tradition of talking with Pete Carroll every Friday. And so even though we've got 3 days until game time, Seahawks coach Pete Carroll joins us. Coach, always great to talk with you.
Well, I appreciate it. That just gives us one more day to get fired up.
That's right. I know. And I heard you talking early in the week. You really want the fans fired up. The announcers on Sunday sounded like they were kind of calling out the 12s a little bit.
Yeah, I still want people calling us out. I mean, let's make it clear and leave no doubt.
Yeah, okay, there you go. There was a lot to cheer about last Sunday. That was it was fun to see you guys dominate the way that you're capable of. That was really a complete performance.
Yeah, it was a fun game. It was a good day at C-Link, and the fans were great, and it was really a blast for everybody. We haven't had very many games where we're out like that, so it was fun to take advantage of it and enjoy it.
And it is just terrific to see, because in a league where everybody obviously is a great athlete and a great player, but when somebody puts together a game like Bobby Wagner did that just stands out amidst all of the pure greatness that's on the field, that really is something to see.
Yeah, he had a great game. And even, the stats, and then some of the stats that you don't see, just him fitting the line of scrimmage and helping guys get lined up and all the stuff. And, you know, people didn't realize he knocked the ball out on the goal line on the 2-point conversion too, and forced that fumble as well. And he had a fantastic game.
Yeah, you know, you're so good at reading my mind, because that was what I was going to ask you. That, you know, for those of us who just follow the ball, tell me something that you see in guys like that, in games and performances like that, that the rest of us miss.
Well, there's all kinds of, you know, subtleties. They're all over the place. There was a beautiful play that Austin Colicchio made on a fly sweep in front of our bench that he finds himself in a situation on a drill that we do. We call run and gather, where guys work on staying, you know, maintaining leverage to make a tackle and use the sidelines, you know, as kind of their help. And he had just a classic open field run and gather tackle that we work on. It was like, it's like teach tape, you know, and it'll be on everybody's cut up for us, you know, in years to come. And you know, we appreciate stuff like that. Our guys went crazy on the sidelines because they saw how perfectly he executed it, you know, and it doesn't happen like that clearly very often. So maybe that's an example of something that happens that nobody would appreciate.
Is there anything more satisfying as a coach than when you work on something in a drill at practice and then see it unfold in front of you in a game?
Yeah, that would be a classic. Is the first pass that Russell hits Jay Brown on. You know, he's just, it worked exactly like it's supposed to work, just like it did in practice. And he was so open, Russ kind of made sure he caught it, underthrew him a little bit. We made about 35, 40 yards on the play or whatever. But that was a play that's, you know, it's a little bit of a trick play in a sense, but it was just perfectly executed, and we sucked him in the way we needed to, and it worked out great. We love seeing that kind of stuff happen. You're right.
You've had some guys get some nice individual recognition. Bobby's defensive NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Last month, Michael Dixon was Special Teams Player of the Month. Seabass, Player of the Week for Special Teams last week. So a lot of you guys are starting to get some individual recognition, it sounds like.
Well, that comes when you win.
Yeah.
You know, if you win some games, you get a shot at it, you know, and that's it's one of the byproducts. It's nice for the guys.
Another guy I wanted to talk to you about was Tyler Lockett, who just seems like he has elevated his game. And, you know, he got a nice contract in the offseason. Guys get paid, and sometimes, I know you've seen it go both ways. Sometimes guys lose a little bit of that edge, and sometimes guys get even more motivated. And Tyler looks like he's the latter. And I'm wondering if you've identified the common thread between the guys who get paid and just stay as fired up and as motivated as ever.
Well, you know, you always do worry about the second baseman that gets the big contract and hits a .198 next year, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
you do worry about that. And in Tyler's case, he's absolutely on the other end of the spectrum. I think the peace of mind that came from his security and all of that has just taken him to another level of execution and performance, and that's just so much fun to watch. He's just having a fantastic season. There is makeup to guys, you know, it's humility and the chip on the shoulder, the competitiveness, you know, the kind of appreciation for being part of something bigger than themselves, you know, that makes them a great team member. Those kinds of characteristics are the ones that we look for, you know, when you know you really want to invest in a guy because he's just going to give you everything he's got. And that may not always play better than he did the year before, but the fact that they're going to always answer it and they're going to come back and give you everything they got time in, time out, that's the guys we're trying to invest in.
Well, let me get deep and psychological with you, because I've thought about that a lot, because I know for me, my motivation is rooted in insecurity and knowing where I came from, you know, financially as a kid and all that. And what about you? I mean, because you've achieved so much. What do you think keeps you so fired up, just year after year?
I just want to keep doing things that's fun, you know, keep stuff that's fun, that keeps me going, you know, that keeps me in anticipation of special stuff. It's really trying to do something special, you know, and it's kind of been a theme throughout, you know, just try to go farther than people would expect you to go and do more than they would expect you to do. And I don't know, I'm the most proud of that motivation, but that's kind of what it is, you know, kind of like surprising and blowing out expectations. And that's always kept me going. And with that, you know, how much is enough? You know, how far can you go and how many times can you win and keep you going? Well, you know, it's not one championship. It never has been about one, you know, award or something like that. It's always been about, can you keep coming back and keep showing, you know, that you're better than the other guys at what you do. And it's been kind of a general thought like that.
And I know for me, it's also just a fierce competitive spirit. Are you trying to show the masses, or are there people where you get particular satisfaction when they see your success?
Well, you know, the way I said it, it sounds like, you know, you got to go beat somebody to do it. But really, it isn't, because, you know, who are the ones that you sanction, you know?
Yeah.
It's knowing when you're doing stuff that's really good and it's really special and it's stuff that's hard to do, to come back and keep doing well. There's nobody to ask her to ask for pats on the back on that one. I kind of have my own gauge on that. And that's really what kind of keeps me going, keeps me fueled up every day.
Hey, when are you guys going to just work into your team budget a choreographer for the touchdown celebrations?
We don't need one. Those guys are doing great. they got it. I like the creativity, and I love the thought of where those conversations are going, you know, when they're trying to figure it out, you know, and they're arguing about, no, let's do this one, let's do that one. And I'm really glad the league has seen that there's reason to let these guys have opportunities to have fun and express and all that, and I think it's working out great.
The tip, the one that was the homage to Sherm, was, did you enjoy that one?
Yeah, I thought that was really well done. That one came off great.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. All right. Hey, Coach, hold on. Pete Carroll is going to spend the rest of the half hour with us, and we will talk about the big Monday night game coming up against the Minnesota Vikings. That is straight ahead as the Pete Carroll Show continues here on the Dory Monson Show. With Seahawks coach Pete Carroll. Seahawks have a big Monday night game against the Minnesota Vikings. You will hear it right here in your home, the Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. And before I get to Monday night's game, Coach, the Huskies made the Rose Bowl. I know what an absolutely special place that is for you. I heard you talk with a particular passion about that particular game, and that really resonated with me. I don't know if I've ever told you. When I was 19, I was doing Husky football play-by-play for the campus radio station. 10-watt signal, only got to the dorms. But I got to do the Rose Bowl, Pete. I'm 19 years old. It was against Iowa in 82. And when I walked in that stadium for the first time as a kid after having watched it on TV for all those years, it was unbelievable. I mean, it was one of those moments of a lifetime. And I know that you have particular passion for that place, too.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in California watching that game as a little kid, you know, and just always, it was always such a big deal and to just whenever you got the chance to watch it, you know, and I mean, it goes way back, you know, so to find yourself in that game someday later on in your life, I really never got over it and enjoyed it immensely and always tried to make it as much fun and as special as you could for the people that were involved and the players and the coaches and all the fans and all that. I just loved the game. I always just loved it. It was in, you know, Pasadena, and the weather was always sweet, and it was, you know, the mountains were in the background. I mean, just the whole thing about the stadium. And then to wind up being there, you know, and having the chance to represent there was just, I don't know, I just never got used to it. And people would say, you know, you've been here so many times, you know, you don't care anymore, your team doesn't care. I couldn't. I vociferously, you know, opposed that thought. We loved going, and it was awesome to be there. And it didn't matter how many times. I thought it was one of the great events there is in sports.
Yeah, and back then, I got to sit down and talk with Don James every Friday. He gave the campus station the same respect he gave Bob Rondo on Como. And did you get to know him at all? Did you know Don James very well?
No, just met him a couple times, you know, I didn't know him well.
Yeah, man, what a great mentor he was. But
what a great coach, eh? He was tough as nails, man. He was awesome.
Yep. All right, we got the Vikings coming up. I like the picture you put out on Twitter of a young Pete Carroll with that shock of black hair and that old Viking sweatshirt back in your coaching days there. You were a good-looking young man.
The Vikings put that out, so we just kind of captured it and just made a little comment about it. I would never have initiated that. But anyway, yeah, and I made a comment, you know, Coach Grant is famous for his garage sales.
Yeah.
And he sells his old paraphernalia. And somebody sent me a picture one day of a sweatshirt with a PC on the table, on the label from way back in the day. He was selling my sweatshirt. So I thought that was awesome. So I think that might have been one of them.
Oh, very nice. Your hair reminded me, I grew up a Baltimore Orioles fan because we didn't have a team here. And your hair reminded me of Jim Palmer a little bit, that nice feathered black hair.
Wasn't black, but that's okay.
Okay. Game against the Vikings coming up. This is a good matchup for you guys. It's another really good test, I know.
Yeah, this is a really good team. It's very well-rounded, experienced, good leadership. They're tough. The record isn't placing them on top of the charts right now, but it's not because they're not a good team. They're really good, and it's a very difficult matchup for us. It's good. We need it. We need to, face every tough angle we can. They bring in so many areas. It's not just their defense. It's not just their offense. Special teams is good. They've got returners. They've got all kinds of stuff. Got a great, all-time kicker, struggling a little bit, but he's a terrific kicker. The best third down team, best red zone team, best team versus explosions, big time passing squads. I mean, it's just loaded, and so. Yeah. We're going to have to play a really good, complete football game, and we're capable of doing that. So it's a good matchup for us. We got to see if we can crank it up again Monday night.
And you had a nice piece. We saw earlier this season the talent of Michael Kendricks, and he's back this Sunday, right?
Yeah, he looks good. He looked really good in practice this week, and we're excited to have him back out there.
Man, I was just thinking, when KJ gets healthy and Bobby and Kendricks, what a linebacker tandem or trio you guys have with that.
Yeah, that would really be something, and we'll see if we can get that done before the season's over.
Okay, speaking of KJ, let me just hit on the injuries real quick. What's going on with him?
Well, he's making it back. Now he's starting his return. Now he's running and doing some stuff now that gives him a chance to see how he can respond to it. He had a big treatment last week that was important for him, and we're going to see how it goes. We really don't know. It's really day-to-day with him. We'll figure it out as we go. There's no timeline that we can nail it with right now.
Okay, what do you know about DJ Fluker?
Fluke's got a hamstring, like we said earlier in the week, it's a big injury for him. He's got a giant hamstring, and so it might take him. He's going to miss this week, and we'll see what happens next week.
Okay, and Chris Carson, who had the dislocated finger, he's ready to go.
Good, he's practicing, and not really shouldn't be any problem.
All right. Well, it's another great test. This run you've been on. We talked last week about momentum, and you told me that. You believe in it just as an extension of how you prepare and to go out and play what you're capable of. And it'll be fun to see another good test of that this Monday.
Yeah, each week that you go out and if you can play on an up level, again, it really is a statement that you're moving. And that is building momentum, and as you asked about that. And we'll see if we can do that. We had a really fun game last week, and now it's time to crank it up again. Let's count on everybody being there, everybody getting jacked up. We're going to do it and have a blast at the stadium.
All right, Monday Night Football, prime time. It's always fun. Pete Carroll, enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Dory. See ya.
Pete Carroll joins us every Friday here, and we have lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.